So last week I spoke about wind and wine and how important it is that we don't become brittle vessels, that we become stuck in our ways and rigid in the way that we used to have things, and we don't move forward because we can't see new results with old mindsets. We want to make sure that we're not trying to live in the past, that we're embracing the present and we're going to see an incredible future. And I spoke about the wind and how powerful wind is. And I was all excited because on Monday night, it was incredibly windy. And our trampoline was lifting up like this, and I was thinking, it's going to fly away. But I was already in bed, and I was comfortable. And you know when you're in bed and everything's locked up, and now the trampoline's like on its way out. And I was like, oh, Paula's like, won't you go tie it up? So, you know, out there in my boxes, do I share that kind of thing online? Out there, well-dressed in my warm jammies. Sorry, guys. I just think my mind. So what I'm busy tying the trampoline down because the trampoline's all over, and I'm tying it down to the pole, and I'm all excited because I'm thinking, Lord, I just preached on the power of the wind and the power of the Holy Spirit, and yeah, the wind is starting to blow. And it's what a cool reminder for the preach I just preached. So I put on my WhatsApp status, the wind is blowing. Thinking, you know, it's a great reminder to preach, only for someone to send me a message asking me about my diet. So, I won't mention any names, but they're in the room. The point is that I wasn't talking about that. We need to be a church, guys. We need to stay connected, to know what's going on. So today's message is titled, Watch This Space. We are in a spirit space right now, and we want to remain in the spirit space. But when I say watch the space, we're excited about what's coming, as well as living in the presence of what God is doing. And I want to trust God this morning for an impartation. That as I'm preaching, I mean, we're all in this together. So we're all on a journey. But the Holy Spirit uses us and speaks to each other through each other. And I trust that there will be an impartation for effective, fruitful, and abundant lives. And I'm quite intentional about the words that I use. I don't just sort of throw out effective, fruitful, and abundant lives, because that's the life that Jesus makes possible. And I must ask, is that the life we're living? For by default, most of us think to ourselves, my default as a Christian is I will just gravitate into those. Let me tell you now, your default doesn't pull you into effective, abundant lives. Your default nature is to kind of pull you away from those things. So when someone says, watch the space, which is what I'm talking about today, it means that exciting changes are about to take place. And I believe that exciting changes are about to take place. And there's nothing more frustrating than saying, watch this space, and nothing happens. And I want to say, I believe the Lord has prepared a table before us. And he's saying, take and eat. And some people are going, that's great. We sang this morning about, you know, we are free. I don't know the lyrics. I'm not so great at that. But it's talking about we're free from the cave, whatever it was, or the prison. And I think for so many people, the prison doors have been ripped off. They've been removed. But you're still sitting in your prison, your cave. But it's time for you to go to the table and take everything God has for you. There's more. But it's not just going to happen by default. You need to be intentional about going to get it. So today I want to unpack an acronym for the word space and hopefully give us a healthy metric on effective living. And the way that I came up with this acronym was I was thinking about preaching. And I was thinking about what I enjoy about seeing people preach. And when people preach, these are the elements that I want to see in their lives. And I was thinking, but it's more than just preaching. It's about how to live life. So I've got an acronym for space. So if you're taking notes, by the way, I do camp in the first one a little bit longer, but I believe it's the season that we're in, and it's a season we should remain in. The S for space, if you're taking notes, is spirit-filled. And like I said last week, as Christians, we need to be spirit-filled, because if we are spirit-filled, if we are not spirit-filled, it's like having a windmill without any wind. We can try to manually go up there and turn the blades, and we put in so much effort, and we want to be better Christians, and we want to try harder, and we fail, and we fail, and we fail, and we wonder why there's no power. And I believe we need to position ourselves in the wind of the Holy Spirit so that the wind starts to blow. There's power there, and it's His momentum that brings life, not our self-effort. So therefore, it's not about willpower, it's about wind power. And God does manifest Himself in different spaces, in different places, in different times. I know that God is omnipresent. I understand that. I understand the concept. But even with the Israelites, God would manifest Himself in a certain place that He wasn't to the Philistines. And I believe that we need to position ourselves in the places where God is manifesting himself. So therefore, I believe this is a God-ordained space where we say, Lord, I want to position myself in the wind of your spirit so that I can live an effective life. We need wind power, not willpower. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we must get this, otherwise it's just, yes, we know this, but are we actually living effective, spirit-filled lives? So we need to be filled. And this is a continuation. We need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. This happens when we are intentionally and continually, we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. And I got another little mini acronym, bonus acronym in the middle of my other acronym, which is this. We need the fire of God. That's full, indwell, relate to or relationship with, and empower. We need the fire of God. We need to be filled, indwelled, relating to, and empowered. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, the world's going to get shaken, guys. Let me tell you, the world will be shaken, but the kingdom won't. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For who is God? Our God is a consuming fire. I mean, I feel like we know it in theory, but are you experiencing the fire presence of God? I mean, let's long for that. God is described as living water, consuming fire and wind. And when we think about how powerful yet essential these things are, it's absolutely awesome. You know, God is awesome. I feel like I'm enthusiastic and excited about this thing, but I feel like we're going to, as we just keep hammering this wall, it's going to break open and we're going to see a flood. This is the calm before the storm. I believe that. I'm not sure how many of you are into gardening. Any gardeners in the room? There we go. One thing from Paul and I, our plants have learned the hard way, is that they don't survive without water. They don't do so well. They look a little pale. A farmer in a drought is like a Christian that isn't spirit-filled. Right? You're a farmer, and your plants, you're just seeing there's no life, there's no harvest. A farmer in a drought is like a Christian that isn't spirit-filled. They may survive, but they don't see a harvest. Are you seeing a harvest? Are you seeing the people around you coming alive? Coming to Christ, being affected. So, we are like plants, and the Holy Spirit rains down on our lives. And when the Holy Spirit saturates our lives, then what happens? We, like trees together in an orchard, so to speak, we produce fruit. And I've said it many times, the goal of a fruit tree is not just to produce fruit, it's to produce fruit trees. Right? Thank you there, Jackie. So when we are spirit-filled, we pull heaven to earth and we impact the people around us. And Paul Isaac and I were talking in the office the other day, and we were talking about how important, how significant is that the spiritual and the natural overlap. And we can live so blinded to the spiritual because we're so obsessed with what's happening in the natural, and we miss something. We miss opportunities. We miss what God is saying, right? So to illustrate, I want to share a testimony that I have shared before that helped me help us understand how we can get the spiritual and pull it into the natural by affecting the natural environment around us. So I went to Checkers, just the one down the road here, and I'm not trying to have a go Checkers. It's a beautiful store, love it, and all the Checkers people that are watching at home, I'm the owner. I went to Checkers to buy some rolls. And the lady behind the counter was not as enthusiastic about service as I was. And I was like doing what I could to get her attention. And eventually she comes over and like this. And I said, could I have some rolls, please? And she heard ah and roll. That's all that stood out. So she was like this. And she shuffled off to get the rolls. Now I was thinking to myself, right? This lady has a terrible attitude, and I'm instantly irritated. I got there happy, and now I'm irritated because she's got a bad attitude. She's not interested. I'm not asking her to do anything special. I wasn't rude. And then I was thinking about how unhelpful she was being and how irritating this was. And I don't have time for this and I'm not in the mood for this. And while I'm sitting there being fumed by her attitude, I feel God say this to me. Bless her. I want you to bless her. And now everything in me is not feeling that excited about that. But I thought to myself, you know, human nature is to say this. If you come to me with an attitude, I will match your attitude and raise you, right? So we want to match another bad attitude with our bad attitude. Yet, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now, hold on. Could I have been peaceful then? And patient. And kind. Amen. And goodness. And self-control. Even love for her. Even joy in the circumstance. How do you have those things in that situation? So I thought, let me be kind to her. And I had a little bit of money in my wallet, not a lot. I gave it to her, and I was really kind to her. Not because my flesh said so, but because the Spirit said so. And I was kind to her, and I gave her some money, and her whole demeanor, everything changed. And it wasn't just the money, like, oh, thank you. I think she must have been thinking, why would you give me now? And she knew. Right, and I can tell you, the atmosphere changed in a moment. Now, what I didn't know is Nkwazi, who's in our church, was standing behind me. Now, if I had matched her attitude with my bad attitude, what would I have communicated to the people in our church and to the lady who had the bad attitude? But I didn't, right? So what I did was I came with a different attitude, and it created an environment for heaven to be pulled to earth. Because what happened is after I left, I had no conversation with the lady. I blessed her. I was kind of turned around. Oh, how's it, Nkwazi? And I left. The lady said, who was that man? She said, oh, that's my pastor. Fortunately, I didn't mess that up. Right? Because I was going to say, there are many times that I should have shown fruit when I didn't. But as I told the first service, you'd never believe me. Now, Nkwazi was able to minister to her, and she and this lady opened up to her, and she started sharing about what she was going through and her life. And what happened is Nkwazi ministered. Why? A natural expression of the fruit of the Spirit created space for a spiritual encounter. And therefore, the point is this. The fruit from my life fell from the tree of my life and produced a harvest. Amen. Front row enthusiasm. Gotta love it. So, when the fruit of the Spirit supersedes the natural fleshly irritations and faulty fleshly responses, we turn an opportunity to be bitter into an opportunity to be a blessing, and seeds fall from the fruit of our lives. We want to be a people who, when we go out into community, it's the power of God, the fruit of God, the gifts of God are expressed through our lives. And it's not just so that, oh, look at me, I'm fruitful, because then I can tell other Christians that I'm a good Christian, so that I can be effective outside of this space. And it doesn't always go according to plan. And what Paula and Isaac and I were saying, what Paula was actually emphasizing in that conversation, is that every space has an environment and an atmosphere. And when you go into Checkers or into your workspace, and what happens is if that atmosphere is a certain way, what we by default absorb the atmosphere. So if the person's irritated and angry and frustrated and moody, then what we do is we just absorb that. Your irritation fuels my irritation. But when we are Spirit-filled, then we don't absorb the atmosphere, we change it. Right? So, Jackie, you can stay. Everyone else, you guys can enjoy some bacon. So when love, joy... sorry, Jackie's just... We got an order of loudness. I'm sorry, I'm hearing it first. Ooh, okay. Distracted. When love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control walk into the room, then all of a sudden, hatred, conflict, impatience, unkindness, harshness, faithlessness, out of controlness, essentially all selfishness, no longer set the tone. I mean, think about your marriage. You get up, you're in a happy mood, your spouse is not in a happy mood, then all of a sudden, do you absorb their mood or change it? And I think to myself, and it's not about, oh, look, I'm going to try my best. It's about the wind of the Spirit, where we go, Holy Spirit, fill me. You know, let me be surrendered to your will and your ways. My Paul, are you taking notes? Anyway, I'm just joking. So when we show fruit in the natural, it creates space for the supernatural to come into earth. Not because we are super spiritual and acting all pious and all it's because we are genuinely transformed by the Holy Spirit. And that transformation creates space for harvest to be created around us. Are you seeing a harvest? Are the people around us growing spiritually because of our fruitfulness? And I'm not trying to rebuke you. I'm asking God for myself. Lord, I'm going to live one life. And that one life is to do one thing, to honor and obey God. And as I do that one thing, to know Christ and make him known, I trust that many other people will know Christ and make him known. So it would be great, it would be wonderful if from the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you were completely, perfectly fruitful all of the time. But the thing is, we like trees that have been planted by God. And what do we need to keep a tree healthy and alive? We need to keep watering it. So we keep positioning ourselves in the spaces of God so that the rain of his Spirit can fall on our lives. So we produce a fruit and produce a harvest. Acts 1 verse 8. A tree needs to be watered continually. That's why we just buy cactuses now. Anyway, Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power, dunamis, power of God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what? So that we can produce fruits and feel good about ourselves? No. Just so we can overcome sin? Absolutely. Absolutely so we can produce fruit. Absolutely so we can overcome sin. But so that you will see fruit produced from your life and see a harvest. You will be my witnesses. Power for what? To be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the power is to proclaim. And we see personal growth. In the Old Testament, are you with me? Amen. In the Old Testament, if you were a priest, you wore a priestly robe. You had a specific attire, you had your dress code for work. And if you were a priest, you would have to wear what God told you. You had this specific thing. And this is one of the things he told the priests to wear. Exodus 39, verse 24 to 26. They made pomegranates. A pomegranate's like a guava. Similar. They made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. So it was a material thing. And attached them to the hem of the robe. So they made bells of pure, they also made bells of pure gold and placed them between the pomegranates along the hem of the robe, with bells and pomegranates alternating all around the hem. The robe was then worn whenever the priest ministered before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Bells, pomegranates, going around the hem of the robe, right, in obedience to God's command, so that when they are ministering, they're wearing that. Then in the New Testament, which is where we live, the New Covenant, it says that we are the priesthood of all believers. In other words, God puts a spiritual robe on you, so to speak, so that you can effectively minister. And it says this in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are his chosen people, City Hill, chosen by God, the king's priests. You are a priest in the kingdom. You are a holy nation, people that belong to God. He chose you. God chose you. I mean, like Paula said this morning, it's personal. That's amazing. God chose you. He designed you. He fashioned you. He named you. He chose you. And I've heard this preached before, that in heaven we will all have a unique name. There won't be two people with the same name. We all get this unique identity in God. And can you imagine? God has this unique destiny for you. So you're a holy nation, people that belong to God. He chose you, what for? To tell about the wonderful things he has done. And the only way you can tell people about the wonderful things he has done is if you recognize what he's doing and what he's done. And that starts with salvation. He brought you out of darkness of sin into his wonderful light. And I heard this great preaching. The point of me telling you this whole detour is this, that the pomegranate symbolized the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the bells symbolized the gift of the Holy Spirit. So as we go through our lives, the expression of God that people see are fruit and gifts, right? And when the Spirit of God comes on people, then we effectively minister. On my desk, I said, I have a pen that has a bell on the end, and it says, ring for love. Thing is, I ring it, but it doesn't work. It's it's not working. I think it's broken. The point is that... The point is, when we live spirit-filled lives, people should notice. It's attractive and it changes the environment. The atmosphere changes around us. The atmosphere is changing now, right? May the bells of our robes ring loudly and the fruit of our lives draw people to Jesus. So when we go into Checkers, bells are ringing in the Spirit. The fruit of God is permeating the environment. And when people look at us, because people are watching, even when we don't know they are watching, which I have, again, learned the hard way, people are always watching us. And then when they do, there's bells ringing. There's the gifts are available. The fruit is present. And when people, they recognize, hold on, that person's ministering in the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for us. Why? Because then we bring in the harvest. Okay, that's great, Tim. You love it. So, and many of you thinking, if this is the first letter, we're going to be here until December. So if this is the S, amen. So if we have the S of space, then we still got pace. And this is what I wrote down. And if we carry on at this pace, we will never finish. So I'm going to, the next ones are much shorter. But guys, I want to emphasize again and again, we need to be intentionally positioning ourselves under the reign of God. Otherwise, yes, we will survive, but like farmers in a drought. So the P is for passion. When I preach, I want to preach with passion. I want to live life with passion. When you look up the word passion, this is what it says. And this is Google, by the way. And Google's not very pro-Jesus to all our Google owners watching online. So it says this, a strong feeling or emotion. And you're passionate about something. You have a strong feeling or emotion. And this is also what it says in Google, who's not pro-Jesus. The suffering and death of Jesus. That's a description under the word passion. How would you describe someone who is passionate about something, right? I want to give you an example. Think about somebody that you know that is passionate about running. What would that look like? Think about right now. A slow jog on the occasional Sunday afternoon slow jog. That's passionate about running. So think about it. If you're passionate about something, you don't give it an occasional, you know, the occasional jog once a month. Think about Comrades Marathon. Show of hands. How many of you run Comrades? Under 500. Okay. So, well done. Now, yes. That's worthy of an applaud. Think about Comrades now for the rest of us that are still going to run next year. You must be passionate about running. You push through the agony while your toenails fall off and you form blisters that grow and burst. And your muscles are aching and cramping, and you have to pee in the bushes, and you have to get up ridiculously early, which is amazing on its own. You have to spend money on shoes. You have to follow a diet plan. You have to spend time qualifying and practicing. You see, passion, which is what we all need in life, it motivates, inspires, and adds energy. And I want to say this, may the Spirit of God breathe passion into us again. Otherwise, we're just going to go through life like, you know, idling. No harvest, no fruit, no change. We just, you know, surviving. How do we go from surviving to thriving? We Spirit-filled. We're intentional. Holy Spirit, please, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit to walk with me, to be in me, to indwell me. May the fire of God go with me everywhere I go. You see, passion is an expression of something that you're really excited about. Unless you're passionate about being a couch potato. How many of you are passionate about Netflix? Woo! We got more hands for that anyway. Listen to this definition of passion. Passion is a willingness to suffer for what you love. And he goes on to say this. The most famous example being the passion of Jesus Christ. Now, if ever there was an expression of passion. This definition has changed my perspective on passion. I no longer use it to describe something that I feel strongly about or that excites me. I use it to describe an activity, a goal, or a cause that I care about so much that I'm willing to suffer for it. This new standard makes it easier to discern whether something is truly my passion or simply just a strong interest. I believe that we need to live lives infused with passion, yet that passion must be worthy of the sacrifice. What are you passionate about? And I'm not trying to be all super spiritual. Jesus, my only passion. I believe that when we are passionate about God, we start to discover other things that we're passionate about. Right? The more Spirit-filled we are, the more we discover our passions. What stirs you? What gives you energy to live another day? Right? I thank God, and I said it in the first service when we had a few of our teachers, we might have a few more here. I thank God that my kids have been taught by teachers that are passionate about teaching. You want people that do what they do because they're passionate about it. Listen to this incredible verse on true passion. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. There's that running again. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Now, this is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Listen to this for passion. Who for the joy that was set before him. What was before him? The cross. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Passion is being willing to suffer for something that you believe in, so much so that you lay aside things, you sacrifice something, because you firmly believe that that thing is real for you. We need passion. Jesus used his passion to selflessly serve others. His passion was for you. You were Jesus' passion. And the word compassion literally means to suffer together. Compassion. Jesus has compassion. Combines his willing to sacrifice, you know, with his passion for us. And he goes to the cross because it brought him joy to see us restored and living effective lives, not just occasionally popping in here and there. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you meet someone who is passionate about something, you don't have to speak to them for very long to find out what it is. When a person is passionate about music, you know, 2 seconds later, they're telling you about their new guitar or their thing. You know, when someone's passionate about CrossFit, you find out within 10 seconds of knowing them because they've invited you like every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When someone's got an iPhone, obviously they've got something to be passionate about. The problems come in. The problems comes in. When we are passionate about things that pull us away from the blesser and the blessings, we can be passionate about the wrong things. So we want to make sure that our passion isn't void of compassion. So to live effective lives, we need to discover what we are passionate about. And of course, we want to be passionate about God and church and prayer. Yet I believe that God's given us personal passions, things that excite you. So for the sake of time, I'm going to quickly summarize the ACE. We need to be spirit-filled. We need to be passionate. The next thing we need is anointing. Jason, with the team, not just Jason, everyone up there today, there was anointing to do that. And we don't have performers come sing songs. We have people anointed by God to carry the Spirit of God through their gifting. It's beautiful to see. The bells of their robes ring as the fruit of their lives is expressed through worship. It's awesome. So, what we need, I'm getting stuck on the A, to be anointed. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And you can make this personal. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The Spirit of God, the oil of God, the power, the anointing of God is on you. What to do what? To proclaim. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And recovery of sight for the blind. He is to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The world is obsessed with DC and Marvel and all these superheroes, and they don't realize that all these people, they have this gift that sets them apart so they can be the hero. And God has given us a gift to set us apart so that we can point to him as the hero. God is our hero. Jesus is the hero of the story, and he anoints us with his power. Guys, thank you. I'm not trying to be like Rahi. I'm trying to say, guys, we can't do anything unless the Holy Spirit fills us. Anointing is to unlock the God-given talents and powers that exist within our lives. Yet unlike the movies, it's not about us. So I said in the first service, it was like a lead balloon. I was like, flame on for going into Checkers. And you just fill with the fire of God. And you go there and you might think to yourself, oh, I've got nothing to offer. But we take what little we've got to offer, and God does something amazing. So then the next one is conviction. Conviction takes this message and makes it like it's mine. Why do I live a spirit-filled life? Because I'm convicted to by God. Not because Tim was, I think it was sort of convincing. What's your conviction? There's some things that we believe because God said so. Now, I have certain personal conviction. I believe in church. I believe in the local church. Because I believe it's God's conviction. He gave himself for the church. And I'm not just talking about Four Walls City Hill. I'm talking about the church. So I have a passion and a conviction to honor church and to sow into church because that's a calling for me. And I believe that we should all be passionate about things God is passionate about. But that conviction's got to be personal. Otherwise, you get dragged around. Having convictions, this is the quote, can be defined as being so thoroughly convinced that Christ and his word are both objectively true and relationally meaningful, that you act on your beliefs regardless of the consequences. We need to believe what we believe, that we believe it for a reason, because the Holy Spirit's convicted us and convinced us that it's true, and we live out those convictions. And the last, and lastly, the final one for space is, and I've got one for when I'm preaching and another one for when we are living our lives. We're living out our lives is execution. We need to take what we've got here and take it out. Otherwise, you know that whole thing, Andy Stanley, salt cellar Christians. We're all salt stuck together in the salt cellar, and we're actually never bringing the flavor out of society. And for when I'm preaching, it's expectation. And I cannot, and I've shared before, I can't tell you how many times I've preached and I've watched people going, and then they're falling asleep and they're bored and they're not interested and they'd rather be anywhere else. And I think to myself, oh man, what a mission. And then afterwards, somebody just comes to me and I'm like, I thought they were sleeping. And they're like, yo, God was really speaking to me and doing some stuff. So I think to myself, now I expect God to do something when I speak. And not because I'm speaking anything like more than what he's saying. It's because God takes the little bit that we've got and he multiplies it. And I was thinking, you might think, oh, but I've got nothing to offer. I didn't go to Bible college. I never studied theology. If you know Jesus, you have everything to offer. I can't offer you much, but what I can offer you is Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus. Who's Jesus? They get to know Jesus. They discover Jesus. They're saved into eternity because of the little you had to offer. But what happens when we do nothing? Nothing happens. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority, Holy Spirit, may this be real to us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's you. Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But only the priest can baptize. You are all priests. You can all baptize. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, I realize now for copyright reasons, we've got a little video that we probably can't show online. We can show it online. No, we can't show it online. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And then can I ask Isaac, could you put a link to that ridiculous? It's ridiculous, but we'll put a link to it in the description. So what we're going to do is I'm going to close for the guys online and say goodbye. Guys, God bless you. I trust that you will be spirit-filled, that you'll be fully alive, that you'll live the life God's called you to. And everywhere you go, you will allow the fruits of God to transform the environment around you. Whatever you're doing right now in terms of work is a ministry. And wear the royal robes that God has placed on your life. And let your, you know, fruit be known. Let the gifts be known. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. All those people watching online, I thank you, Lord, that they'll be filled. The fire of God will be on them even now. I pray, Holy Spirit, even as they're in their lounges and their rooms and wherever they are, Lord, watching this, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're moved by your Spirit. Give those people passion and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.